I'm going to do something a little bit different. I don't like critiquing the past week. You've all heard those type of things, the thoughts that were given from this platform, which are all beautiful. And I've appreciated very much. So I'm going to do something just a little bit different that's maybe a little bit more unusual than what you've experienced as a discourse. I'm a person that's looking for peculiar people, and I'm in search of them. And I'm longing, in my life, I've been a sojourner, and I've searched. I've looked everywhere. And I was given a scripture to consider in my journey. And this is how it goes. It's from the 17th chapter of John, and it helped me to understand what I need to understand and know in my sojourn. It's from the 13th verse to the 16th verse from the NIV. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the word has hated them. The world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. The 15th verse, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. So in my sojourn, I'm going to do a little role play here. I'm looking for peculiar people. I've read these thoughts, and I want to understand them. So the peculiar people that I was directed to see and go and see were in Moscow, Idaho. And I was given that direction by some other people that I met. And I'll tell you about those as we go on. So I journeyed to this beautiful valley here in Moscow, Idaho. And guess what? There was a sign welcoming me. And I knew I was in Moscow, Idaho. But I'm still looking for peculiar people. And they said they were here. I heard that Bible students were going to meet in Moscow, Idaho. This is what I was told. I wanted to meet these people that I heard about because they said peculiar things and they had peculiar ideas that I never heard before. I come from a system out there that was dark and foreboding. And had no direction. And I was looking for something in my sojourn. These Bible students say things like, working together will turn generosity into change. Wow, is that beautiful? I've never heard that in the places that I've traveled and who I've fellowshiped with. So I wanted to see who they were. And I found these Bible students. And this is what they look like. And when I found them, they were all smiling. And I didn't find that in the world everywhere I would go in my sojourn. I found out the main reason they smile is because of what they know. And that's what I wanted to understand. I wanted it to be a part of my life because I was searching. I wanted to find out what that was that made them smile. And you know what they told me? It was one individual. And they called him our Lord. And they told me about One of them came up to me when I visited there in Moscow, Idaho, and they gave me a scripture to help me to understand. And it said about a person who followed this individual called our Lord. And it was in Acts, the 4th chapter, the 10th through the 12th verse, and it was the Apostle Peter, they said. And it said, there is salvation in no one else. Well, I thought there was salvation with the churches that I gathered with. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Well, I thought the pastor, the priest could save me and rid my sins. Well, as I journeyed, I found out that there were 5,000 people that followed this man at that time when Peter spoke, and that he helped someone who needed help at a time when you weren't supposed to do that, on a Sabbath. And there were priests and captains of the temple at that time and Sadducees who wanted to condemn him, because you don't do that on those days. Well, I found that out when I was in other areas, places I visited in my sojourn. You can only believe this way. And if you don't, we don't want you here. I also found that there were people that they told me back then that followed him. They were peculiar too. I have periodically heard these words, because they've been said to me, about these peculiar people. They're strange. They're odd. They're unusual. And they're peculiar. I have imagined in my mind that when they followed this man they called our Lord, especially these older ones, way back when, 2,000 years ago, that they didn't totally understand him. They were trying to understand him. And they became peculiar people as well, the closer they got to him. But they led me to an individual, again to Peter. And Peter said this, and I'll read it from my Bible, because I have a King James Version in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I came from darkness. And I'm looking for these peculiar people. And they told me, when they broke this down to me, it said, but ye are the consecrated church, those that are following. You're a chosen generation, new creatures in this Christ Jesus following. You're a royal priesthood, or going to be, of which the Redeemer is the head, this man we call our Lord. And a holy nation took me back to an understanding which said, among the Jews, the Israelites indeed became the nucleus or start of this spiritual Israel. Wow. That became interesting to me, of how they were called peculiar people. But it wasn't the whole answer, because they said during a period of time, these peculiar people are going to be looked for, and they called it the gospel age. Peculiar in what way? But why this calling out? And who are these peculiar people? Well, they led me to another peculiar person. And he lived about 100 and some years ago. And his name was Charles Taze Russell. And he was peculiar as well. Well, he made this statement in his life. He said, let us never forget that we are peculiar people, separate from the great body of Christians. I thought a Christian was okay. as well as from the world, having higher hopes, aims, and ambitions, and favored with clearer insight into the deep things of God, having been called out of this former darkness into his marvelous light. I'm starting to understand something. He also said, and if thus separate from the world, which is what I wanted to be because I wasn't understanding it, and from Christians who partake largely of the worldly spirit, that was unusual to me to make that statement. What wonder if we find them all out of harmony with us and either ignoring or opposing us? And I found that. The closer I kept asking questions and getting to this arrangement, I found that they weren't understanding me. They didn't like to talk to me anymore. And that was the world. And then I found out, coming from that, that they were on a fast track to whatever. The whole world is and has been against these peculiar people in this battle. It's taking its own course and ignoring God's arrangement, leaning to its own understanding and pursuing its own way. And it is dark and mysterious. So this man, Russell, was pointing a way that I found. He said, the world, its spirit, its popular methods, its ambitions, hopes, and aims are all at variance with this elect church of God who are following this man they call our Lord. And he said that in one of his reprint articles that they wrote, 1719. Getting closer to these peculiar people. But I still had a question, and I've had many. Who are these peculiar people in Moscow, Idaho? And why are they strange, odd, unusual, and peculiar? And I'm curious, what do they look like? Well, I saw some pictures, but I found out this group that I came from in my sojourn, and I met with them, and I found out they're peculiar too. And they directed me here, and this is what they look like. And they say things like, to you, love from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Who does that? What church out there does that to another church? Now, I haven't found that anywhere, only with peculiar people. They meet in small, this group here meets in a small little building on a hill in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they're always smiling too. And I wonder why. And they believe some very strange things that I want to understand. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not God. And they say John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. They believe that one day all mankind will be saved. And he showed me in 1 Corinthians 15 that Adam made mistakes, and the Son of God corrected those mistakes. They believe that all the families of the earth is going to be blessed, everybody. And they say it's going to be a new arrangement, a new covenant. And they pointed me to Genesis 12:3, where it says, through thee and thy seed. And I'm starting to understand a little bit. Also, the earth abides forever. It doesn't burn up anywhere. And they showed me Ecclesiastes 1:4. But you know, I kept looking and kept searching, and they directed me to Moscow, Idaho. They also directed me to another place, and I found some more peculiar people, and they look like this. Now, these peculiar people crave purpose. For many of us, don't we navigate life trying to make sense of who we are by distributing our time across things like obligations? I have them. and they're called work and family. And then we have passions that we have desires to do certain things. But these peculiar people seek for God's understanding. They seek for meaning, wisdom, and knowledge. They want to know why. They just don't go to church and listen to some hymns and a little bit of thoughts and put money in a box and then go out to lunch. They don't do that. And they're always curious. Can curiosity also play an important part? I asked. And they said to me, I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious about what's in the scripture. I'm passionately curious. I want to know. And they told me, never regard study as a duty. Nobody's obligated to do that. But as an opportunity to learn to know the beauty in the realm of the spirit for your own personal joy. That's why they smile so much. And to the profit of then the community, the people you're going to be fellowshipping with. And they said in Luke 6:3, it says to give, and it will be given to you. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. That's not what I found when I was sojourning in the world. And they told me it was because of this man who gave everything to profit all the world. He gave his life for that. Where do these peculiar people live, I asked. Just in Moscow, Idaho? And they said, no, they live all over the world. And they're peculiar all over the world. How many people do you know who have friends everywhere? Anyone ever ask you at work or something like that? Where are you going now? I'm going to Moscow, Idaho. We know I have friends and family there. And then they say, where are you going next? And where are you going? Anywhere. You say, I have friends and family there. That's peculiar. Nobody has that. How many people do you know who sacrifice their time and talents to serve others the world over? And you know what? And do this not expecting anything in return. That is peculiar. How many people do you know who go on vacation every year and study the Bible for a week? Some have done it for over 80 plus years. And you tell people at work, so I'm going to Moscow, Idaho to study the Bible for a week with people that I love and know. So that's what led me to the University of Idaho. I'm pretty sure that these peculiar people define the week they spend with each other an occasion when many members of an extended family, the family of God, they call it, because I've heard them say that. It's a family of God. They get together to not only hear the word of God, but also enjoy each other's company and support one another. Wow. And they come from all over the place. They call it a general convention. That means anybody could come. Some might even call it a family reunion. I've heard that said here. And I thought that was pretty peculiar. Because yeah, I haven't heard that in the churches out there that I visited with in my sojourn. They do this every year. Wow. You know what? They rent big universities and meet in places like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, California, Oregon, and places like Moscow, Idaho. They even meet in places in Europe. You know what's even more peculiar than all this? They told me. They ask different people to speak to them on Bible topics. Not doctors of divinity. They ask chiropractors and lawyers and engineers and accountants and therapists and business execs and teachers and factory workers, truck drivers, carpenters, farmers, contractors. They even ask electricians. And they're all asked to speak on the Bible on something. Boy, these peculiar people, when I found them, what they say makes me feel secure because I didn't find it out there. To have those you can count on who share the same likes and dislikes. And they quoted a scripture to me by this apostle Paul in Hebrews 10:24 and said, let us consider one another to provoke, to encourage unto love and good works. This is what they said to me. They didn't even know me. You know these peculiar people, you know what they do? I'll take you back to those that you saw before, because they are peculiar. Now, they don't have a hierarchy, some divinity that's up there that tells them what to do and how to do it. They get together, they take a picture like this. No, they don't. They find out how to do it. And you know how they do it? They choose a committee. And that committee makes a plan. And then they recruit and delegate that in that plan. They build the budget. They prepare a backup plan. They get the word out. They advertise. That's how I found out about it. They offer something for everyone, like ice cream every night. They share family stories, and they hug each other, and they smile, and they laugh. And they cry. And you know what? They maintain decorum through all this because every place they go, I'm finding out wherever they've been, however they've been hosted, the people that are there that host them love them, want them back. It's called a family reunion. I've heard that over and over. A family reunion. You know what a family reunion is? It's the events that they call it, an average 6 days, and most of the cherished memories that are brought there are listed by 81% of the 10 attendees. You know what it is? Spending time together. I think it's even more than 81%. Preferably without one of these, I heard, because I was hearing it, but I was here all week. It's called a smartphone. And it looks like this. And I don't know, because I'm not very smart, so I don't have one. But it's called focus on one another when you get rid of it. It's peculiar and strange. People look at each other. They actually smile at each other, talk to each other, look at each other in the eyes. They're not doing this and press sin. Wow, that is really peculiar. Now, they also, guess what? The second best thing they like, and that's 61%. I think it's 100%. What do you think it is? They like to eat. And they're always eating. And it says in Hebrews 10:25, when you look in the NIV, it says, not giving up meeting together, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Because there's a day out there. I've been there. And it's approaching. And it's not good. It's like unrushed quality time. These peculiar people love fellowship and spending time with one another. Most people communicate by texting. These people actually talk to one another. Can you believe that? That's peculiar. What is unrushed quality time, I asked? Well, time spent giving another person one's undivided attention in order to strengthen a relationship. So they led me to Romans 12:9-13, and they said an English translation gives a pretty good point here. It says in Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. I didn't find that out there. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to that which is good. I looked and I wanted genuineness. And we're not foolish. No one is. You know when things are genuine and not. And they led me to Mark 3, and they say, wash one another's feet. Well, while I was here this week, I didn't wash anybody's feet, but the week's not over. They have no agenda. They don't try to change others. They know the importance of being authentic, and they understand that everyone is on their own unique journey in life. It's easy for them to extend compliments, easy for them, and give them as well. Now, if that isn't strange and peculiar, what is? In the 10th verse of that Romans, they said, they do things like this. They hug each other. They hold each other's hand. They speak to each other. They tell each other. And they don't even see each other for a year. They don't even, sometimes they can't even remember their names, but they say, I love you. And you know what else they do? Because it says it in that 10th verse. They outdo one another in showing honor. With respect and admiration. Love one another with brotherly affection, they say. And they've quoted a scripture in Matthew 7:12 from the NIV. So in everything, they don't pick and choose. Do to others what you would have them say and do to you. For this sums up all the law and the prophets. I'm starting to understand. It's starting to make sense to me. Starting to fall into place. And they told me, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Because that was that 11th verse. Spiritual fervor. So you could have it here, but when you leave, what happens? So they call each other brethren. When we leave this place, they say, determine not to be lacking in zeal about your spiritual life. Don't just forget where you were or what you've learned. Decide to do whatever it takes to keep your spiritual fervor serving our Lord with all you have. And this is what we've come here for. This is what I searched for in my sojourn. And I found it. And it's built a fire in me, a desire to serve. And to love more and to appreciate more. And that 12th verse, it says, rejoice in hope. And they were telling me about this hope, hope of a kingdom. They were always praying for it. Every prayer, they said, thy kingdom come. But they said, it's not without some difficulty. And we have to be patient in that tribulation because it's there, they said. And a way to get through it is pray, always. Take every opportunity to do that. Hope to cherish a desire with anticipation, they told me. To want something to happen to be true for everyone. Not just me. It's not about me. It's about everyone. That's what they said this man we call our Lord taught them. In Romans 12:13, it also says to contribute to the needs of one another, which they call themselves opportunity to be saints. So seek to show hospitality in whatever you do. And they said this man, they called their Lord, said in Luke 14:12-14, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, invite everyone. Don't discriminate. Don't look at someone and say, just because you don't like certain things. Invite everyone, says. But also, says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, which they're striving for. So, having some time just to be with your family means that inevitably you'll wind up hearing and telling each other stories. Ones that might otherwise go unsaid because you weren't able to do that 2,000 miles away. So here, you're able to lean on each other, learning by observation. seeing what's in their facial expression and in their tears and in their smiles. You know, learning by observation involves four separate processes. I didn't know that. They taught me that. That means attention. Holding the attention. Then when you speak to someone, retain it. And then there should be some production because of it. And there should be motivation behind that production. It shouldn't be weak. It reminds me of homeschooling. It's like this. Tell me, and I'm going to forget, especially now at my age. Teach me, and I'll probably try and remember. But involve me, and I'm going to learn. Because I get my hands on it. I get to work with you. Now, we all learn certain things on the road of acquiring knowledge. That's what they said. You come here and there's all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of places to get it with each other in our fellowship. With that, I'd like to tell you a story about two homeschool teachers I know. I'm very personally related to them. How does a homeschooler change a light bulb? So I asked my homeschool, those that I know personally, and they told me this is what they do. First mom, who's the teacher, checks three books out on electricity out of the library. Then the kids make models of light bulbs, read a biography of Thomas Edison, and do a skit based on his life. Next. Everyone studies the history of lighting methods in the homeschool, wrapping up with dipping their own candles and producing their own light. Continuing this process, it doesn't end there. Next, everyone takes a trip to the store where they compare types of light bulbs. And they all look at these different light bulbs. And it reminds me of what I was here all week in my studies. Everybody's got ideas. Everybody's got thoughts. And everybody's got reasonings. And they look at them and they consider them. That's the same thing with a homeschooler. So I'm thinking to myself, they don't go to schools of divinity. There's no doctors of the law here. They're homeschoolers. They open the Bible and they study it with each other. So when they study it, they come up with all kinds of charts and graphs and things. And after that, the class needs to figure out how much change they need to get if they buy two light bulbs for $1.99 and pay with a $5 bill. That's also in the homeschool. What were we talking about? How to screw a light? Okay. Of course, that distracts you because now you're dealing with figures. And we all know what that can do. On the way home, mom says, a discussion develops over the history of money and also Abraham Lincoln. And as his picture is on the $5 bill, and there it is, guess what they have to do? They got to study about Abraham Lincoln now. They got to find out why the $5 bill. This is what the homeschooler does. This is what Bible students do. But then what happens, somebody comes along. There's a little boy, finally a child, homemade a ladder. He went out in the woods. He found a ladder, a bunch of branches, dragged from the woods, climbed up, and screwed the light bulb in. And guess what? There was light. Try not to make the journey too difficult. Because when it is, then it gets confusing. It could look like this. It's okay. It makes some sense. But what does it do in our communicating? How does it help us in communication? Let's talk about communicating just for a moment. There's a father and son at the family reunion, at the picnic. Truly taking time to listen to one another. So the dad's listening to the son. They're having a good time, just like the brethren are doing at convention. And the boy asks his father, because they're having a good time, Dad, are bugs good to eat? Well, Dad gets a little bit perturbed. He said, let's not talk about things like that right now. After lunch, the father asks, because he feels bad, now, son, why did you ask me about bugs? Oh, nothing, Dad. There was a bug in your sandwich, but now it's gone. What do you think the biggest communication problem is? Someone once said, we usually don't listen to understand, we listen to reply. Reminds me of what they told me about in regards to Nehemiah when he was building the wall. When they were doing something, when they were building up one another, and they were building a defense, something that would keep the system out. So they took me to Nehemiah 12:27. It says, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places, just like they did here, and brought them all to Moscow, Idaho, to bring them to this place, Jerusalem, so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness. So they spend the whole week, they're fellowshipping with each other, and now they're going to celebrate with hymns and thanksgiving and with songs to accompaniment of by cymbals, harps, and lyres. And they're going to do that here. That's what they do, these Bible students. That's what I found out. Celebration is always in order when a task is completed. So they spent all week, they studied with each other, they laughed with each other, they ate with each other, they walked with each other, they fellowshiped with each other. They were creating a relationship that I didn't find when I was out there in the system. It doesn't exist. So I found it here in Moscow, Idaho. And so did you. So we ask ourselves, what are we going to do with it? Well, I'm going to say one final thing before I end my thoughts here. Let me close with one more point about these peculiar people. You know what they do? When attending this general convention, these peculiar people lug instruments all across the country for the final celebration so that they could sing and they could be joyful. They practice all week long, singing and playing their instruments as that they can celebrate at the end of the week. And they work hard in doing this. And you know what? And I'll tell you a secret. Everywhere I've been, in all the churches, these peculiar people don't get paid. But the other places do. They do it all in sacrifice and love for the benefit of all others in fellowship. That's what they do it for. That's what they come here for. Guess what they call this? A love feast. That's not out there. I never found it anywhere I went. Why did I come here? That was the question that was asked to us in the opening session. Brethren, I came here because I love you. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want you to be a part of my life so I can be a part of yours. I want quality time. And quality time is an informal reference to time spent with close family, partners, or friends that is in some way important. I hopefully consider that that is that way, and it's special to you, and it has been productive, but most of all, it has been profitable. and it has upbuilt you and made you feel good. Hopefully, that's what this week will mean to you. That's what it meant to me in my sojourn. Time spent in giving another person one's undivided attention in order to strengthen a relationship, because maybe it's a little weak and they need a little help. Because we came here maybe with not all smiles in our heart, but we came here for help. We came here for encouragement so that we can be strengthened. And we were concerned about each other. You know, when you leave this place tomorrow, just when everybody's gone, just take a look. Look around and you're going to say, what am I doing here? You're here and you came here because of who's next to you. That's the love. That's the love we've all learned and appreciated. So, the University of Idaho, July 2025, 2019, is in the books. Just maybe we can define, at least I'd like to, the past week as a loving family reunion here in Moscow, Idaho. I didn't even know where it was. And I've lived a pretty long life so far. And when somebody told me Moscow, I was saying Moscow. No. It's Moscow, Idaho. What a beautiful place. I drove up to Spokane this morning, picked up my son-in-law, drove back. Beautiful country. I stopped at a little restaurant, got a cup of coffee, a sandwich. Loved it. I had some fellowship with her. I said, the Lord bless you in this day. She said, the Lord bless you too. What good fellowship we enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. Maybe a little longer walk, but Isaiah said that in 55:14. So when I read 1 Peter 2:9 again, which I started with, I know who the chosen generation is going to be in the royal priesthood. And this holy people and these peculiar people that I've met. They've taken me out of darkness and planted my feet upon a foundation and given me light, marvelous light. I would like to think that the next year's family reunion, if there will be one, will be a wonderful blessing as well, where we can learn, appreciate, and love even further. And keep in mind, love those who are here. Tell them you do in this love feast, because they may not be here next year. So I think it's good to be peculiar.